You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Children can hardly wait till Christmas. Many adults can hardly wait till it's all over.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, give us faith. Faith that you are God, that you love, that you can and do forgive. Give us faith enough to wait for your time and to wait with joy. Give us faith to be done with hesitation and to accept your Son as our Savior. Give us the joy of knowing how you have accepted us in your beloved Son, our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. Children can hardly wait till Christmas. Many adults can hardly wait till it's over. For lonely people, I am told, Christmas time is often the loneliest time of the year. People who treat emotional problems have reported that they have more trouble with their patients over the Christmas season than at any other time. In the adult world, so often disappointed in its expectations and grown weary of waiting for something that never happens, Christmas becomes more a wake than a celebration. It's one of those things you have to live through so that life can go on again as usual. The children have something to teach us about life. Their faith is not a dream. For children, waiting is a time of eager anticipation, so intense that it sometimes becomes almost unendurable. Children are not the only ones with faith. A grown man spoke with eager anticipation in Psalm 27, "Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage." Yes, wait for the Lord. Waiting is one of the joys of life. Waiting for a wedding is a time of eager excitement. A lot has to be done to get ready, and the whole family is wrapped up in the process. Father and mother, brother and sister are all involved in the great thing that is going to happen, and they want to be ready. Waiting for a baby to arrive makes time look as if it is crawling, especially during the last week or two. Everybody is involved, grandfather and grandmother, father and mother, husband and wife, and even prospective uncles and aunts. For the long-suffering mother, the time passes more slowly than for anyone. But the coming of that baby makes it all worthwhile. As St. Paul said, a new mother forgets all about her travail for joy that a man has been born into the world. For that she is willing to wait, to have courage, and to be strong, often a good deal stronger than others who are not as directly involved as she is. The greatest things in life call for waiting. Even the ordinary demands waiting. Motorists pass you on the road, breaking all the speed limits. At the next stoplight, there they are, waiting, no farther along than you are. They have found out for themselves the truth of the old adage, hurry up and wait. Lose a minute, save a life. And the life you save may be your own. Our slogans to get people to drive sensibly, to act intelligently, by learning how to wait. There are some things you just can't rush. In a world in such a hurry to get there, rushing toward the weekend and rushing through that weekend, rushing through another week to another weekend, the word of the psalmist comes as good as it was when it was originally written. And his word is, wait. What's the rush? Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. This is the word of faith. Faith in God. When things are going badly, wait for the Lord. When the problems of health all but overwhelm you, wait for the Lord. When anxiety to solve a situation has you on pins and needles, wait for the Lord. When you think about it, it is very practical advice, but it takes a lot of faith. It is not the counsel of despair. Many people laugh when told to wait because that looks like a hopeless way to deal with a hopeless situation. Actually, waiting is a fact of life. You don't learn to play a musical instrument overnight. It takes a lot of hard work and a lot of waiting. The waiting does not mean that you lie down and do nothing. Waiting is not an encouragement to inaction or to indifference and indecision. It takes a lot of work with diligent and regular practice and persistent hope that refuses to be deterred by having to wait. You can't rush God. Sometimes he seems to be in no hurry at all. People think they have to get out ahead of him or nothing will happen. But most of us have to learn to slow down and wait for him. With all of this frenzied rushing about, you can miss him entirely. The old man Simeon had waited a long time. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And that happened in his lifetime. I can just see that old man lifting up his eyes and saying, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to thy people Israel. You can't rush God. He has his own time. As Johann Sebastian Bach said in one of his great cantatas, Gottes Zeit ist die allerbeste Zeit. God's time is the best time of all. As I read the New Testament, it's usually the devil who's trying to rush things. At the outset of Christ's ministry, it was the devil who met him in the wilderness with a suggestion to step up God's tempo. Get going, he said. You haven't much time. Turn stones into bread. Cast yourself down from the temple. Bow down and worship me. I have the secret for an age in a hurry. The devil knows the attraction for an age in a hurry of cutting corners, crowd appeal, signs and wonders. He knows our distaste for the long, slow road of suffering and compassion. He knows our unwillingness to trust God, to let the Lord have his day, and simply to wait with nothing more than a promise from the Lord, no matter how great that promise may be. He knows our craving for instant satisfaction and immediate answer. Rushing God is a way people have of trying to bend him to their will. We all know, religious or not, what it is to be impatient with God. Why doesn't he act the way we think he ought to act? Why doesn't he answer prayer the way we want him to answer it? Why doesn't he step in promptly and clean up the mess we have made? It is human to want a time of uncertainty to be resolved, to get it over with, and to get it over with quickly. Rushing God is really questioning his incredible love. His amazing patience is almost too much to take. But that's the way he is. The psalmist had found it out for himself, maybe through long experience. I believe, he said, that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Waiting for the Lord takes a lot of faith and a lot of courage. It takes a lot of faith and courage to wait for the Lord to show his hand when your son or daughter is about to make a decision which you think is unfortunate. If you had to make that decision, you would know right away what to do. But you have to wait and wait, hoping that your boy or girl will not make a bad mistake. Invariably, I found that parents who have faith in God and the courage to wait, letting that boy or girl come to a decision, all the while knowing that father and mother were praying for them that it would turn out well, experienced a pleasant surprise that God was not asleep, as they might have thought. Maybe the decision wasn't exactly the one that they would have made, but it turned out a lot better than they ever expected. Maybe it was the decision they themselves would have made. But that young man and young woman made it themselves, as people have to learn to do. Some things cannot be hurried. The greatest things in life cannot be rushed. Often they are preceded with discipline and study and work. Physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual growth does not take place overnight. We can hinder the process, but we cannot hasten it beyond human capacities or divine design. Relationships between people grow and blossom. Friendships and romances are rarely instantaneous. Waiting patiently on the Lord is a learning process. It becomes a fruitful one when people actually wait on the Lord, hearing and wrestling with His Word, coming under the influence of His Spirit, and remembering His forgiveness, His divine promises, His magnificent providence, and His never-failing love. The patient love of God, remembered with faith in Him, and constantly revived with prayer to Him, enables us to be patient with Him and with ourselves. It's the stuff of which life is made. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. And let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. If the Lord has not figured in your thinking, my friend, and the purpose and plan of your life have left no room for Him, now is the time to give immediate attention and to take prompt action. You can't take your good old time about God. He is marvelously patient, but you cannot take His love for granted. You cannot take His word lightly. God has plenty of time, but you do not. That is why St. Paul urged people in his time, now is the acceptable time, the day of salvation. Jesus Christ addressed people with a direct decisiveness. He told them to believe on Him whom God has sent. The apostles of Jesus Christ urge people to repent and to believe. When you are dead and gone, the day of grace will run out. The fig tree has to be cut down if it doesn't bear fruit. Our Lord said that. Without faith, which enables people to wait on God and to have courage and strength of heart, nobody is going to be able to have a Lord for whom he can wait. What God has done in Jesus Christ calls for decision, with faith and trust that God really means what He says. Jesus Christ died and God forgives. He forgives, and in that forgiveness of His, there is life. Waiting for the Lord is not like sitting at an airport waiting for a plane to arrive, standing around twiddling your thumbs, or idly leafing through a magazine to kill time. Waiting for the Lord is more like a youngster waiting to grow up. Each moment, each day, has its own opportunities, which are to be seized. Each moment, each opportunity seized, is in fact a moment of growing to maturity. So it is with God and His will for you. God is not going to be rushed. He will not be hurried into those little schemes of ours. He is God, and He's not going to wait forever for you to make up your mind to put your trust in Him. You don't have an eternity to face the crucial issues like coming to faith, believing the Word of God, loving your brother, or making peace with your enemies. Waiting for the Lord is hooking up with Him, fixing your trust in Him, accepting once and for all His forgiveness and the assurance of His loving care, being open to His acts of deliverance and salvation, ready to obey His call. The Lord has acted. He sent His Son to be our Lord. This is God doing things His way. The Son died for the sins of the world. He died for your sins and mine. It all happened in our history. People waited a long time for that to happen, and now it has happened. You can't go on acting as if it has not happened. The cross of Christ is God's call to you. He calls upon you to believe, to accept, and to follow. The atonement of Christ for your sins cannot be dismissed lightly. In Christ, God is talking to you. He made that quite clear when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead and gave him a name that is above every name. There's only one way to respond to God. Recognize Jesus Christ as your Lord. And then go on with faith that trusts God for whatever he is going to do. God is ahead of you every step of the way. You don't have to tell him what to do. He has done for you what he alone could do. In Jesus Christ, he now forgives your sins. Repent and believe. Do that now, not tomorrow, but today. First of all, I told you not to hurry, but to wait. Now I tell you not to wait, but to hurry. However contradictory that may sound, both are true. They are not things to be done one at one time and one at another time, but both together at the same time. Hurry up and accept the gracious forgiveness of a good God. Wait with confident obedience for him to do his thing. Both are important. Both are necessary. And both open up the secret of real life. Hurry up and wait. Taken together, they describe a real life, neither frantic nor passive, but life that welcomes the promise of God, life that acts with faith and love, life that knows the secret of the Lord when he says, "Hurry up to know me and wait to find out what I will do." Hurry up and wait. Amen.